Today's sermon will introduce the church theme for the month of January, resiliency. Resiliency is that characteristic of being able to absorb stress and to bounce back, as they say, being able to recover from trauma, being able to suffer and recover and go on enjoying a good life. The idea of resiliency for the theme for January appealed to me because it was seemed like an appropriate response to January, the first month of winter. It's not that I'm against winter. It has many redeeming features. But there's no denying its challenges. It's blizzard. It's snow shoveling. It's treacherous footing. It's frozen pipes. It's frozen fingers and toes. Yes, January can be stressful, especially so since it's the beginning of winter. And we know that February and March are still ahead of us. To not only survive winter, but to enjoy winter, you need to cultivate that value of resilience. And resilience is a value that is universally appreciated. I'll be using some metaphors this morning to describe the real subject today, the resilience of the human spirit. We celebrate physical resilience when our bodies recover from exercise or illness or injury, when we recover from emotional and mental problems, when we recover from sadness and depression that may accompany a loss in life. And in the long run, if we live long enough, we can rebound from loss of physical vitality only to a point. Ultimately, we face the loss of our physical vitality and probably the loss of our mental acuity as well. But what we can hope for is the resilience of the human spirit right up to the end of life, despite the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune and aging. The resilience of the human spirit has its correlate in the resilience of materials. The order of service today has a representation of bamboo on the cover. Bamboo is a Chinese symbol for resilience because of its durability and its strength and its flexibility. Bamboo survives in the harshest conditions. It seems to endure through all the brutalities Mother Nature can dish out. It's still standing tall, staying green year-round. Its flexibility and adaptability are a lesson to all of us in understanding the secret of a long and happy life. So, here's where I diverge with a little personal story. I remember traveling to Hong Kong when I was, when I was a young engineer. But all relevant, isn't it? What's that? But anyway, what struck me in Hong Kong was the use of bamboo. They were building these huge skyscrapers in Hong Kong, multi-story buildings, and where we would be using cranes and steel scaffolding, they were using bamboo. So I found a little video that I wanted to share with you just to give you this metaphor that I'm going to use in the service.
Our skyline is dominated by a growing number of skyscrapers. To build them, you need sturdy scaffolding structures. But here, instead of steel or aluminium, they're made of bamboo. Bamboo has been used in the construction industry all over Asia for centuries. Its flexibility, strength, and the fact that it's light and easy to transport make it an excellent material for the trade. It takes about 4 years to grow to the right size. It's chopped down, dried for around 2 months, and then cut down to 7-meter tubes. On site, a crane lifts a pile of bamboo up to a height of over 100 meters. The workers will use it to erect the scaffolding for the next 2 floors. Working up here is a scary business. With no harness attached, a worker brings the next tube into position using just his balance. While scaffolding on our shores is fixed with steel fittings, Here, the frame is lashed together with plastic straps. Originally, bamboo strips were used, but they tended to rot in bad weather and were replaced. With the agility of Spider-Man, these guys balance at 120 meters in the air on a structure of just bamboo and plastic. It might not be everyone's career choice, but in Hong Kong, scaffolding is a well-paid job which is also well-respected. And of course, the views are fantastic.
So I hope you'll excuse me going back to my engineering roots for a metaphor here, but it's a good one. The image of bamboo scaffolding is a metaphor for a social network that gives meaning. That gives our life meaning and allows us to make achievements in our modern society. In that metaphor, maybe each of us is seen as one piece of bamboo in a larger structure. Individually, we're not very strong. We're easily broken, and our role in life is limited. But when we're part of a well-built structure, we acquire amazing resiliency, strength, and meaning. I hope you notice those plastic ties. They're used to connect the individual pieces of bamboo. The ties are analogous to the connections that we build in our lives. They're strong, but flexible, and they hold us in community. When we attend a Sunday service, when you join in coffee hour, when you sing in the choir, when you work on a refugee support committee, you're creating those ties, those points of connection that are as important to the structure as are the pieces of bamboo. No two pieces of bamboo are exactly alike. Each piece has its place in the structure. We come from different places, but we can all learn from one another. So the previous images that I mentioned have drawn upon my life as an engineer. I like to say that I'm no longer a mechanical engineer. I'm now a theological engineer. I'm dedicated to the practice of the practical applications of theology. So what does our universalist theology have to say about the value of resilience? Seven principles are always a good place to start. The first of these seven principles deals with the first three of these seven principles deal specifically with the idea of resilience. When we speak about the inherent worth and dignity of every human being, we're acknowledging the resilience that can be nurtured inside each one of us, no matter how we may have been deformed by life stresses. When we speak of justice and compassion in all human relations, we recognize the importance of compassion. And compassion is an essential ingredient to building a resilient community. Acceptance of one another and the encouragement of spiritual growth again speaks of our recognition that we all come from different backgrounds. We have different capacities for resilience in the face of life stress. Unitarian Universalist theology and religion is a resilient faith tradition. We're not tied to a creed or a dogma of revealed truth. And as such, our faith is able to respond to changes in our society brought about by scientific, sociological, and technological advance. Unitarians and Universalists were among the first to see and to celebrate the scientific vision of Charles Darwin. Not as an attack on religious belief, but as a new way of seeing and celebrating the amazing creation that we're part of. And this congregation, the Universalist Unitarian Church of Halifax, has proven its resilience over 178 years since its founding, even though at times its size has shrunk to a mere handful of the faithful. This congregation is about building resiliency in community. And the key to our resilient community is the concept of covenants. a covenant that binds all members in the congregation. A covenant, by its nature, is a resilient relationship. Unlike a contract, a covenant is based on an understanding that as human beings, we will fail. We know we will fail to live up to our highest ideals from time to time. We will fall out of covenant. But when that happens, all parties to the covenant are committed to work at healing the damage and restoring the relationship. It's like that web of bamboo, that we can have one member of that structure fail. We can have one of those ties come unraveled. But the remainder of the structure shifts to accommodate, to adjust, and to help heal. In order to grow as human beings, we must be willing to be vulnerable, to expose ourselves to ideas and to relationships that exceed our personal yield point and that change us in the process. We recognize that we must expose a certain degree of vulnerability in order to change. If we hold on to rigid interpretations of what and who we are, then we'll be modeling a brittle relationship. A relationship that can't bend to accommodate the stresses of community. Vulnerability and resilience are intimately connected. Vulnerability involves a risk, and taking even a calculated risk requires courage. When you expose a vulnerability, you will be inviting criticism, hopefully constructive and healthy criticism, and responding to that criticism in a healthy way requires your resilience. Here in this congregation, we're in the business of building community, of making connections between people. As human beings, we instinctively know that close connections with other people is essential to our health and to our happiness. In November of 2015, in a TED Talk, Robert Wattinger delivered a talk about the results of the longest-running study into the nature of adult human development. Now, Robert Wattinger is a psychiatrist, a psychoanalyst, and a Zen priest. He's also the fourth director of the Harvard Study on Adult Development. The study began with 724 men some 75 years ago. It's unfortunate that the study was initially limited to men, but such was the time. The men came from two groups, Harvard students who were at the top of the socioeconomic ladder, and youths from some of the poorest neighborhoods in Boston. And over that span of time, generations of researchers have been studying those individuals as their lives unfolded, and as they progressed from teenagers to now, the 65 or so remaining in the study are in their 90s. The conclusion to date is that the most important component of a happy life is good, healthy, and close relationships with other people. Good relationships keep us happy, keep us healthy, keep us living longer. If that seems obvious to you, the next question would be, why don't we all cultivate such relationships? Well, because it's messy. It can be hard work. And we'll be exposing ourselves and our egos to criticism in the process. There is no shortcut to healthy relationships. No way to get around being vulnerable. Dr. Brené Brown, who studies human relationships, has said that what keeps us out of connection with others is fear that we are not worthy of such relationships. She says that what separates people who have a strong sense of love and belonging from others who do not is a belief that they are worthy of love and belonging. Not that they're perfect. They acknowledge as many character flaws and weaknesses as anyone else. But they see the need for and the right to healthy relationships as part of the inherent worth and dignity of every human being, including themselves, putting that in UU terms. This, I believe, is the future of the church, one of the few institutions dedicated to fostering loving and supporting relationships, the kind of relationships that build our individual and our communal resilience. So as I come to the end of my first sermon on resilience, I'll conclude with this thought, that all growing, all creativity, all joy, all love, and all belonging begins with embracing our vulnerability. It begins with taking a risk. And this is best done in the safety of a supportive community. Embracing our vulnerability means that we open ourselves up to possible mistakes and certain criticism. But there can be no growth, spiritual or otherwise, without these risks. What gets us through these challenges to our self-image is the same quality that will get us through the winter ahead, our resilience. What we are building here in this congregation every day is a resilient community based on a covenant to love one another, to help one another, and to be there for one another despite our individual shortcomings and our personal failures. The building of a resilient community is the starting place for the building of resilient individuals and the building of a resilient society. May it be so.